Thanks for listening in here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller, back again, and back again to talk about our Wisconsin Public Radio drive. I am pretty sure that you know that Wisconsin Public Radio relies on listener contributions to pay for all the programs you enjoy here on the Ideas Network. That's a fact. And now during our fall membership drive, we're asking you to act on that fact by becoming a contributing listener to Wisconsin Public Radio. Every gift makes a big difference. So please go online at WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. And Jim Packer joining me. Jim, we have a goal this 90 minutes.
Indeed we do, Larry, as we always do during the drive. And our goal is to get 75 pledges this hour, 75 pledges in the next hour and 20 minutes.
Hour and 20 minutes.
You can help us meet this important goal by making a contribution now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And your gift will ensure that the programs you enjoy will be here every day on Wisconsin Public Radio. So it's WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And in just a minute, we'll be talking with Frank Armstrong of Coconut Grove, Florida, founder of the investment advisor firm Investor Solutions, Inc. He's also co-author with Paul Brown of Save Your Retirement, What to Do If You Haven't Saved Enough or If Your Investments Were Devastated by the Market Meltdown. It's a great publication. And it's a great book. As a matter of fact, when I read it, I felt so I saw it before it really was published, and liked it so well that I agreed to write a little blurb for the cover, the book jacket, and that's on the back of the book. I really think it's a wonderful book, and it's a premium. It's a premium for every person who calls in with a $100 contribution. We'll send you a copy of Save Your Retirement, written by Frank Armstrong. It's a great opportunity here to get a book by Frank, about 200 pages, and you can also invest at Wisconsin Public Radio at the same time.
And giving just takes 3 minutes of your time or less. You can tell us your name, contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay. Credit cards do save us time, money, and paper, and we take Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and Discover. So take those 3 minutes right now. Give securely online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You know, at the end of the hour, we often hear guests say, thanks for your great listeners. And I want to thank you for being such thoughtful, active listeners, and thank you for your support. Your financial support, which makes it all possible. If you haven't pledged yet, this would be a great time to do it. Just go online at WPR.org or call us toll-free at 888-202-2552. If you pledge $100, we'll send you a copy of Frank's book. But, Jim, they could add a little to that as well.
That's right. If you pledge $120, you'll also receive the Wisconsin Public Radio member card. It's easy to use. There's no paper to clip or coupons to tear. Just keep the card in your wallet and present it for 2-for-1 deals at participating restaurants, at B&Bs, at some golf courses and cultural attractions. With every use, you'll be reminded of your relationship with WPR. Pledge $120 or more, receive the member card and a copy of Frank Armstrong's book, Save Your Retirement. And you can do that securely online at WPR.org or call toll-free at 888-202-2552.
We have a goal of 75 contributions, 75 donations for this 90-minute program. We've got a couple already started here. Go online to WPR.org to make your contribution or call us at 888-202-2552. Thanks to everybody who's already contributed. If you haven't contributed yet, please do it right now. We want to meet that goal of 75 calls. And, of course, we want to keep our great programming going with guests, wonderful guests like Frank Armstrong. Frank's with us, I believe, by phone. Frank, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, it's great to hear your voice.
It's great to be with you, as always.
I really appreciate it. Research shows that more than half of all workers in the U.S., I think it's 53%, have less than $25,000 in total savings and investments. And there was a telephone survey of 1,000 adults over the age of 18 by Princeton Survey Research last month that found that 26% of current retirees depend solely on Social Security for their retirement income. And that's those numbers are not real encouraging, are they, Frank?
No, those are devastating numbers. And the other thing that that comes up is those of those people who have less than $25,000, about 70% of them actually believe they're on track for a successful retirement.
Wow.
You know, I mean, the disconnect between what's actually necessary to retire in comfort and continue your lifestyle and what people do and what people think they're doing, whether they're on track or not, is just so blaring. It's so disconcerting. And all of us are trying to struggle with how do we get people to make more rational decisions.
I want to give our listeners a chance to join in. I'll give that number to call. If you'd like to join in with a question or comment for Frank, the number to call, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at talk@WPR.org. We'd love to hear from you with your questions or comments. And, you know, I mentioned your book earlier, and you've got some very specific step-by-step plans that a person can use for retirement.
Well, we tried to do that. We tried to take it by age cohort so that if you're 40 years away from retirement or 30 or 20 or 10 or at retirement, we have specific specific guidelines for you. And it may depend on whether or not you've saved enough and or whether your investments just got devastated by the meltdown. And, of course, if they got devastated by the meltdown, you have to decide for yourself whether that was an appropriate investment policy, and if not, you have to take steps to change it.
Yeah. Well, you know, last week I think was designated by your fellow financial planners as Financial Planning Week, as a matter of fact. Why don't you talk a little bit about what a financial planner does and where to find a good one?
Well, let's start with where to find a good one. The National Association of Professional Financial Advisors, NAPFA.org, has got people who have sworn to take a fiduciary position, make all decisions based on your best interest, and they take no commissions. They're fee-only advisors, so that eliminates the vast majority of any potential conflicts of interest other than just simply trivial ones. And so it's pretty easy to find good financial planners, and these people do a number of things. They can, depending on what you need to get you to where you want to go, they could do everything from assist you with to reduce your credit card debt, to refinance your home, to make long-term plans for retirement, your children's college education, assist you with budgeting. Then there's the estate planning so that your assets pass to your heirs as efficiently and inexpensively as possible. You actually designate the people that you want to receive those assets, avoid as much taxes as possible if that's an issue, reduce the estate settlement costs, and make the other kinds of provisions that you need for estate planning. For instance, last wishes for burial, or the issue of your medical needs during a period of time when you can't make decisions. All those issues are things that financial planners do, and some of them attack just certain issues, and some of them are masters of all trades.
Yeah. Well, tell you, investors were dismayed that U.S. international and emerging stock markets all declined together last month or last fall, and that most of the bond prices fell. So you really had limited protection against the market collapse. Does diversification no longer work as a strategy? Or?
Well, Larry, I think you know better, but
yeah. I sure do.
Diversification is the primary defense that investors have against the unknown that even things we can't even imagine, like this meltdown, 9/11, the tech wreck, et cetera. People who were diversified over longer periods of time have very fine track records. But at the end of the diversification process, and sometimes the fancy name for that is modern portfolio theory, where you buy different asset classes around the world, at the end of that process, you're still faced with market risk. And that's the risk that can't be diversified away. You're paid to assume market risk. The rates of return are significantly higher in asset classes that are risky, where you have an unknown unknown short-term, especially outcome. And you are paid to assume that risk. Knowing that markets go up and down, you need to make sure that you take no more risk than you are comfortable with financially and emotionally. But nevertheless, diversification is not dead. If you isolate one short period of time, a financial crisis, then it's pretty certain that all assets will move in unison. And we've seen that before. However, when the crisis eases, things go back to the way they normally are, which is you get some divergence between the asset class performances, which lowers the risk at the portfolio level. And I want to emphasize how important it is to lower risk at the portfolio level over time, because people with lower risk portfolios have higher accumulations, have less chance of running out of money during retirement, whatever, they generally have much better results. And in many cases, investors would be far better served to manage risk, which they don't think about too much, than to try and stretch for an additional percent of return.
Yeah, that makes sense. Dividends are on the rebound. I want to talk about those in just a minute, but just to remind everybody, Frank Armstrong, our guest today, founder of the investment advisor firm Investor Solutions, Inc., and co-author of the book Save Your Retirement, What to Do If You Haven't Saved Enough or If Your Investments Were Devastated by the Market Meltdown. You can join us at 1-800-642-1234 with your question, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Frank Armstrong, our guest as we talk saving your retirement. Larry Mueller here. Give us a call with your questions at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. Dividends are on the rebound. Several companies increased dividends in recent weeks. ConAgra was one, Kroger, McDonald's. What should investors watch for in terms of dividends, and how important are they?
They're not really very important at all. And investors who are inclined to do their own research and think about future stock returns are much better served to look at total earnings, earnings per share, than they are dividends, because you can simultaneously pay a dividend and sell bonds or stocks to pay it. it doesn't have to have come out of earnings. And so it's not a very good clue, really, as to the health of a financial company. And as we saw during the meltdown, a lot of these companies continued to pay dividends right up to the moment they went bankrupt. Oh, hello.
Yeah.
You know, I have a little problem with that. And, you know, but they were so intent on, well, we got to preserve our dividends. But they continued to pay those dividends and sell stocks and bonds, and imperiled their own financial future by so doing. So investors really ought not to give that a lot of attention. They ought to be thinking about the dividend, not the dividends, but the earnings of the company. Frankly, we think the best way for investors to do that research is not to bother. Simply buy the market and let other people sort that stuff out and get the market returns rather than take the risk of an undiversified position in a stock that may or may not have declared a dividend.
So it's a little more conservative, buy the market, but it's safer, a lot safer.
It's a lot more conservative. And incidentally, to go on more about dividends, when I went to college, and I'm going to date myself, I was in college from 62 to 66, we spent a lot of time in economics courses determining the optimum capital structure for a company. And then sometime after that, or actually about the same time while we were working away doing this nonsensical exercise, Mogliani and Miller published a paper about capital structure and blew all that out of the water. They won a Nobel Prize in economics for that. The lessons you take away from the M&M paper and the Nobel Prize that they won was that dividends don't matter.
And that got them a Nobel Prize.
It did. And they, you know, a lot of people had speculated about that. But as Miller used to joke about, he said, but we proved it rigorously.
Well, we had an email from Mary, and she says that the economic surveys don't address, we were talking about the surveys earlier, that they don't address the reasons for lack of planning. She says she personally will probably have to work until the day she dies, just like maybe a lot of people in this country. That was just sort of a comment from her.
Well, you know, I don't think they – I think they're surveying the result, not the reasons, but the result is pretty dismal. And as I wrote in my first book published this year, The Retirement Challenge, Will You Sink or Swim? We're in an atmosphere where individual investors, individual Americans, need to take responsibility for their own financial future. And one of the ways you do that is to start to save. And small amounts of savings over a long period of time, along with their accumulated earnings, really add up to significant sums. And so if people didn't save, if people can't save or won't save, then all the best financial planner can do is confirm that they're going to be poor.
Yeah. It's too bad. We have some more emails coming in here. Here's a question from, well, we don't have a name here, but it's an email. We already have an AXA variable annuity, and we have a CD that's coming due for about $14,000, which has not made any money in the past year. Our advisor has told us to add it to our variable annuity. I'm wondering if this is wise. I'm 67, my husband's 69, and this is his IRA. We get money added if we put it in the variable annuity. I'm inclined to put it in a bank as an IRA CD. What do you think?
I don't know enough about your situation to comment specifically about where it should go, except to say that the last place I would put it is in any variable annuity from one of these insurance companies. They take out so much in commissions to pay the agent, and the internal costs of running that thing every year are so high that it just wipes out any potential tax advantage you might get from deferral. And when the money comes out, it gets the worst possible tax treatment. You've changed any of your potentially of your capital gains into ordinary income, which is about as bad as it can get. So I'm a real opponent of variable annuities as a savings tool, I think it's a completely commission-driven sale. It's a product with no reason to exist except to enrich the insurance companies and their agents.
Hmm. Well, those are pretty strong words. If you're, what other options might you suggest? And you know, as you say, you have to kind of look at each individual's. But what are the options out there?
Well, if I was, if I was going to invest in the equity markets, and I had $14,000, I believe was the number in my hands, I would call Vanguard and buy a diversified portfolio of their index funds, so that I was able to diversify globally through those index funds. That's if you want to take, if you're comfortable taking the risk in the market. If not, then Vanguard, for instance, or other institutions have some very good fixed income funds, whether they're municipal bonds or whether they're or United States government bonds or commercial bonds. You'll be able to buy a diversified portfolio with a reasonably specified length, so you can control the risk. at an extraordinarily low cost. And perhaps you should do a combination of stocks and bonds to meet your needs long term. But again, and if you want no risk at all, then a CD, even though rates are low, is a pretty good choice because it is zero risk. It's backed by the United States government. Indirectly, because if the bank fails, the government will pay. But those are individual choices and depend on your individual situation, your objectives, time horizon, and individual situation.
Yeah. If you have a question for Frank Armstrong as we talk with him about investments and saving for your retirement, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at talk@WPR.org. Frank, we have an email from Gretchen who says, we have a son going to college next year. Our house is paid for. We have no debt. We have a few hundred thousands in investments. Wondering how much to spend from savings on college and how much should he borrow? Anything we spend comes out of a retirement fund.
Well, you know, it's those are tough choices for families to make. I don't know if your son will qualify for financial aid or not. It's terrible to have to make the trade-off between retirement and helping your son in college, and you might take the position quite reasonably that the best thing you can do for your son is that he not have to support you during your retirement. So you know, those are tough choices. Had you saved in advance using some of the available 529 plans or the education IRAs, those choices might have been a little less painful. But, you know, we're long past the days when, again, to date myself, I could make everything I needed to make by working in the summer to go to college. Now, so many children are graduating from college with crushing debts it's a countrywide problem that really needs to be addressed. I'm glad I personally don't have to make those choices between retirement and paying for college. But, you know, I always took the position that all you owe your children is good values and an education, but now the cost of education is so high that a lot of people can't get there.
That's an unfortunate truth, and I'm glad I have a 529 account for my daughter. I lost a bunch. It's making
temporarily.
Yeah, it's actually back. Yeah, it's really come back quite well. I was amazed at how well it's come back in the last 6 months. Frank Armstrong, our guest today. I'm Larry Mueller. We're in the midst of our Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. The goal of this campaign, pretty simple, to get your contribution, because the people who value public radio also take care of public radio. So you can do your part by contributing now at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552. Jim Packard back with us. And Jim, how are we doing on the goal?
Well, we have a goal of 75 calls for the show today. Our goal is now 68. 7 people have called so far, and we've got 60 minutes to do this in. The success of the fund drive depends on you. Thanks if you've already given. If not, give now online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. You decide the amount of your pledge, but when you give $100, ask for Frank Armstrong's book, Saving Your Retirement, and you can pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Frank is a great guest on this program. He tells it just the way he sees it. He's pretty, he can be pretty blunt about how he feels, as you probably have already heard in this program. But Frank is just one of the many great guests you hear all day long on the Ideas Network. It's a unique radio service in the nation. Your support makes it possible. Pledge now for the service you rely on at WPR.org or just call us, 888 888- 202-2552.
New members are so important to Wisconsin Public Radio, and we want to thank the new members who have pledged so far this hour. The more people who support WPR, the more stable our financial situation, and the better we're able to withstand economic ups and downs. So, if you've never given before, know that your new membership will help keep Wisconsin Public Radio the same strong, reliable service that you depend on. Decide the amount, then give at WPR.org or toll-free, 888-202-2552.
You are a part of Wisconsin Public Radio's community of listeners. Maybe you've been a listener for a long time, and now you can become part of our community of members, people who loyally support the program they value. Your contribution of any amount makes you a member. So go online at WPR.org. Or call us toll-free at 888-202-2552. Do it right now.
And you can consider making your pledge in monthly installments. It does make things easier on your budget. We know that. A $60 pledge becomes $5 a month. $120 pledge is $10 a month, and so on. The installments are easy to set up. We'll help you do that at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
It's an investment. We're talking about investments here on the Ideas Network, and this is an investment in the future of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our goal this hour is 75 contributions. We have about 68 more to go. Give now at WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552. Don't forget, if you pledge at least $100, we'll send you a copy of Frank's book, Save Your Retirement, 200 pages of what to do if you haven't saved enough or if your investments were devastated by that market meltdown. Do it right now. Donate at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thanks to everybody who's already contributed. We want to take some more calls. I know people have questions for Frank and as a matter of fact, Roberts on the road has a question for you, so let's go there. Roberts, hi.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. Thank you for calling. What is on your mind?
Well, first of all, I want to thank Frank for being here. I'm a big believer in financial planners who have no conflict of interest, and I want to ask Frank that if he's concerned, or at least if some of his clients might be concerned about inflation protection and the government deficit, how would he advise some of his clients to protect their retirement money from the effects of the depreciating dollar and maybe difficulty of our government to repay some of these great deficits that they're accruing? And I'll hang up now and listen to your response.
Thank you for calling.
Robert, that's a great question. First, let's talk about the fall of the dollar, which, as we all know, has dropped pretty radically in the last few months. One way to protect against that is to buy assets overseas on foreign stock markets, for instance, because for every 1% that the dollar depreciates against the currency, you get a 1% increase in the value of those assets, even if the local market over there doesn't do anything at all. So we like to hedge our portfolios, our equity portfolios, so that we have 50% of the money overseas and 50% of it locally, which provides a very good dollar hedge. And so during periods of time when the dollar falls, we get increased performance from foreign markets. It's not that we're that smart. It's just that we think that our clients want to hedge that dollar because that's what they eat. And so we've done that consistently, and it's worked out very well. Then the other issue about inflation is a big concern. Inflation really hasn't reared its ugly head yet. A lot of people are concerned about the tremendous deficits being forecast down the road. And, you know, I frankly, that concerns me. I'm concerned about a lot of things every day. But what we know historically is that stocks have been an excellent inflation hedge over the long haul. If you look at the inflation since about 1926, it's averaged out at about 3.5%. But stocks have averaged out at about 10%. So you're getting about a 6.5% in rough numbers real return over and above inflation. And that's huge. That's just
that's
huge.
That's a lot, yeah.
And we've seen that through many, many different periods of time. Now, it doesn't happen every day. It doesn't happen every year. But over time, for people who want to build a portfolio, stocks have been a great way to do it. The reason behind that is that companies don't just roll over and die when they get a little bit of inflation. They find ways to pass those additional costs on to their buyers and protect their bottom lines and increase their own profits down the road. And profits are what make stocks worth holding. Is you want to participate in companies that have rising profits. And that's worked very well now for 75 years or so, and we believe it'll continue to work. There's good economic reason to believe it'll continue to work out for the next 75 or so, long past the time we have to care about it.
Yeah, that's just what I was thinking. Thanks for that question, Robert. Michael in Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Larry, and thank you very much. I have a concern for Mr. Armstrong and a thought that I'd like to have him comment on. And the concern is that I'm a little concerned about the variable annuities. Isn't it true that had an individual had some of his, let's say even a third of his investments in a variable annuity, which guarantees no loss of principal and allows you to participate in the market on the upside but not on the downside, wouldn't that have been pretty inexpensive investment compared to the 201Ks that we have these days? And then the comment that I have, that I'd like to have Mr. Armstrong make, is that I don't believe we're going to have 75 years of return to growth like we've had in the past, because the economic center of the planet has moved to Asia, and our manufacturing base, both in the the manufacturing base in the industrialized world, is evaporating and moving to those areas, which puts them close to the market, and that we're not going to see inflation or growth. We're a cash cow nation.
All right. Well, let's. Thanks for calling, Michael. Let's get a comment from Frank.
Okay. Well, there's two parts to your question. I'll try and answer them both. The inflation or the downside protection of variable annuities comes at a very high cost, and there may be better ways to do that. People who did invest in those feel pretty good right now. But it's strapped the insurance companies to the point where they're either reducing the guarantees or having to borrow money from Uncle Sam to cover them. So the guarantee is only as good as the insurance company that backs it. And so the guarantees going forward are going to be substantially smaller than what you've seen, and they come at a pretty high cost in terms of ongoing expenses against your total return. So that if you have a short-term need you feel you need to guarantee, you might be better off to put it in a short-term bond portfolio that will meet your needs for several years out, so that you have the financial ability and the emotional ability to ride out the downturns when they come. And you would be richer for it down the road, because those huge internal costs just eat away at your principal every day. The second part was, remind me, Larry?
The manufacturing base.
Oh, the manufacturing. And we have a global portfolio and a global economy. And if in fact, the profits shift to, say, China, we'll capture a portion of that. I don't think the United States needs to be counted out entirely. Yes, some of the manufacturing jobs are going overseas. And that's a very tough thing for people in the Midwest, Wisconsin, and Illinois to digest. But those jobs are perhaps lost forever. But other jobs that come along will replace them that add higher value to the economy. And the trick for workers, although this is painful, is to keep yourself educated and flexible, so that you can respond to tomorrow's challenges, because there is, yes, a very limited demand for buggy whip makers, but there's a high demand for people who can do other tasks that we need in the economy. So I don't think that capitalism is dead, or that our economy is dead.
But the profits may or may not come from primarily overseas and Asia. But if they are, you're invested there too, if you do it right.
And thanks very much for that call, Michael. I appreciate it. Sharon in Duluth will give you a chance now. Sharon, hello.
Hi, thank you so much. I love your programming. I'd send in my pledge for your book, Frank, but I already pledged pretty big earlier. But I'm going to look for it, Saving Your Retirement by You. I'm 66, and my son's been sort of a lackadaisical help in my financial planning and sort of dropped out of the picture. But he kept telling me that I should stay pretty fully invested because we in our family tend to live till close to 90, and that I have several years yet that I should be, but it got really scary when I lost like 45%. I think it's back where I've only down 30%, but only doesn't feel that only now. I tried to find an independent financial planner right here in Duluth. They're telling me I'd have to go to the Twin Cities, maybe. But that's kind of what I'm looking for. But what are your thoughts on if your family tends to live really long, you know, when is the cutoff point when you start getting more conservative and still have to keep it up with inflation because you might live 25 more years?
Okay.
Well, I think you've got to do both. You've got to have enough in your short-term bond portfolio so that you're completely comfortable riding out the ups and downs in the market. And you know that short-term bond portfolio will support you, say, for 7 to 10 years, no matter what the market does. And most of us believe that in a 7 to 10-year cycle, the market will correct and go on back to new highs. And so on an annual basis, you could decide for yourself whether the market has done well or not, and decide whether to pull from the stocks or the bonds. But, you know, if you have a long longevity, then or even if you don't expect to live for a long time, unless you have some reason to know that that's a fact, I don't think you ever outgrow your need for stocks. You should not be 100% in stocks for most people who have to withdraw funds. But the trick is to balance the right amount of stocks with the right amount of bonds, and to control your spending, your withdrawal rate, so that the portfolio can sustain it.
Okay, would your book be helpful on that score?
Well, I think it would, sure.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm planning to get it regardless of what you said. So I'm going to start with that and then maybe try to see if there's some financial planners I can get to my investments. I do have Vanguard for one, and I trust them a lot.
I think Vanguard is the outfit on Wall Street that has claim to the whitest of the hats.
Yep. Okay. All righty.
Many of the other places have proved themselves simultaneously insolvent, corrupt, and incompetent. I don't know why anybody want to do business there. But on the other hand, there are places like Vanguard who give you a square deal for your ride.
And maybe they do telephone consulting for a price.
They
Since
will. If you can't find a local person through NAPFA, then they will do telephone consulting for a price, as I believe will Fidelity.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. Frank Armstrong, our guest today, as we talk about investing and saving for your retirement. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the IdeasNet. And we'll take another call here as we visit with Frank Armstrong about investing and retirement. Jill in River Falls, it's your turn. Hi, Jill.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question is, we may be in a situation where we have to consider withdrawing funds before maturity of either a traditional or Roth IRA.
Okay.
What are the benefits of pulling from one or the other, and certainly the downside?
Yeah, well, there's a big downside.
Well, if you've made contributions to the Roth IRA, then you can withdraw those contributions, but not the earnings, without either taxes or penalty, because you've already paid taxes on that money.
So the Roth IRA, I can pull out not the earnings, but what I've put in?
Right.
That's right. Let's say you put $2,000 a year in for the last 5 years, that's $10,000 you could pull out. Now, if the account's worth $14,000 or some number, you can't take out that last $4,000 or else you'll pay a premature excise tax potentially, or but certainly you will pay ordinary income on it.
Okay.
So the best, if you have enough there, the best place to take it is from your contributions to the Roth IRA.
All right. That's good to know.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. And Paul in Belleville, hello to you.
Good morning. Maybe your guest could discuss the, there's been a lot of corruption uncovered and ethics issues in the market. It's been shown that the government is not a very good watchdog over some of these companies or industries. I mean, I guess a lot of what is available on paper, and how do you really have confidence in what you're buying and what they're issuing as annual report material is actually factual and it's not fantasy? Mm-hmm. And I'll just listen to the comments off the air.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
Unfortunately, I agree with Paul. I'm disappointed that we haven't yet seen very large measures of financial reform. Starting with the idea that if a company is too big to fail, then I think it's either too big to exist, or at least all of us have an interest in making sure that it is properly regulated and capitalized so that it doesn't take down the world economy with it. But then we go on into many, many other areas of regulation that have been found to be wanting. But some of the proposals are also wanting, and certainly not tough enough on the guys who got us into all this trouble. I'd like to see, for instance, and this isn't tough on them, but when you do these credit default swaps, they're all private contracts. There's no central exchange. Nobody puts up any money. So you're looking entirely to the counterparty, who may or may not have the money when you need it, or when the contract comes due. So I'd like to see all those move to an exchange that are regulated by somebody who understands how the business is run, and on and on and on. We don't have in place what I would consider adequate capital margins for the big banking institutions, and the risk control is obviously proven itself to be substandard, dirt poor, or non-existent. I mean, at best, it was non-existent. These people bought into incredibly strange ideas, like you could give money to people who didn't deserve credit and expect to get it all back and give it a grade A rating. And the corruption in the rating agencies is. I long for the days when Rudy Giuliani used to go into the trading floor of the New York Stock Exchange and put the cuffs on guys and make them do the perp walk in front of the three cable, the three networks, you know. Not enough folks have gone to jail all along the chain, from people who deliberately wrote mortgages that they knew were false, to those people who bundled those mortgages up, to those people who sold them knowing that they couldn't possibly be a government grade. And on and on and on. I think what we've proved, what we ought to understand now, is that the 30-year dream that the financial markets could regulate themselves in the public's best interest was a total bunch of baloney. those guys are motivated by greed, and their management procedure, their management principle is IBG. When it hits the fan, I'll be gone.
Yeah.
And someone else will have to deal with this, but I'll have my golden parachute. I'll be out of here. And so long-term solvency of the corporation isn't nearly as important as my short-term bonus.
Our guest today, Frank Armstrong, talking with us about saving your retirement. Larry Mueller here, and we're here to talk with you a little bit about Wisconsin Public Radio and investing in Wisconsin Public Radio. I know many of you rely on Wisconsin Public Radio. We've heard some wonderful comments today for the kinds of discussions. You're listening to Frank today. Frank will tell it like it is, that's for sure. And during our fall membership drive, we hope you'll support this program and support Frank and this program that you hear every day from 11 to 12:30. A gift of any amount makes a big difference in our ability to pay for the programming you count on. So make a gift now. Go online at WPR.org or call with a contribution at 888-202-2552. Jim, we're running a little behind here.
We are, Larry. We need to hear from 62 people with 40 minutes to go to make our goal of 75 calls during the program. Thank you if you've already given, and if not, help stay on track. Make your contribution right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. You decide the amount of your pledge, and when you give $100, you can ask for Frank's book, Saving Your Retirement, and you can pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I tell you what, Frank has done a wonderful job with this book, and all of the questions that are coming up, so many of the questions that are being asked today, I'm looking through his book, and I'm thinking, you know, he's got the answers right here in the book. It's a great book. He's talking about how to begin your own rescue efforts, the things to do to make sure you don't make your situation worse. Retirement minus 20 or more. That's the safe road to take, as he's talking about in one of his chapters. He's talking about solving the saving conundrum. He's talking about where all the money's going, how much money are you really going to need, how to consolidate your retirement accounts, estate planning, asset allocation, and investment planning. All of these things are covered in his book, and for a $100 contribution, it's I'd make it a $120 contribution, wouldn't you, Jim?
I would indeed, because at $120, you'd be able to get the member benefit card from Wisconsin Public Radio that gives you 2-for-1 meals, entree to various museums, B&Bs, that kind of thing. It's a card that you certainly can get your investment back from the pledge that you make right now. So why not pledge $10 a month? That's $120 for the year. You'll also get a copy of Frank's book, Saving Your Retirement. So do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It is, he has the right number there. It's 1-888-202-2552. That's the number to call, or go online to WPR.org. And make your contribution right now. I know you've been enjoying this conversation with Frank Armstrong. As I said, Frank likes to tell it like it is. We're asking you to put a value on the programming that you enjoy every day and then make your pledge at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552. If you've been thinking about it, now's the time to commence acting, and less time on thinking, Jim.
Indeed. So go to WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And with the pledge of $120, as we said, we'll give you the member benefit card. You'll be able to get back the amount of your contribution just by using the card a few times during the next year. And you'll also receive Frank's book, Saving Your Retirement. You're not alone. Just about everyone is unprepared to retire the way they want. But we do have the answers for you in the book. Maybe you don't want to retire. He addresses that. Maybe you just enjoy working as much as I do and can't get out of this job. And so you stay right here. And so as Larry has endorsed the book, I've found a lot of value in it as well. And you can have a copy with a $100 pledge at 888-202-2555.
It's a great book, and it's a great premium for a $100 contribution. It's also, when you make that contribution, we send you a copy of the book, but you're also putting a vote in for this particular program every day from 11 to 12:30. I think we do a great job with a broad range of guests. And frankly, not only the 11 o'clock show here, but also Kathleen does a wonderful job. Talk of the Nation, Zorba, Pastor on Your Health, What Do You Know, Car Talk, Wait, Don't Tell Me. There are so many great programs on the Ideas Network. I think we give you a window of the world like no other. So We hope you'll support this exciting mix of programs you enjoy on the station with your contribution at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
You're always in good company here on the Larry Miller program. We've got friends like Dr. Bassam Shakashuri, who comes in occasionally, talk about commentary on science and education, entomology with Phil Pelletieri, gardening with Mel Meyer, just three of the guests that you're familiar with and enjoy and have come on to depend on each day. And so if you listen regularly to Larry's program, the Wisconsin Public Radio, the number for you is WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We've dropped into the 50s now. We've got about 50, just a little over 50 more contributors. You can help us out right now. Make your pledge online at WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552. Laura and Jim in La Crosse, they've listened for a number of years. They phoned in a contribution. Thomas in Wanakee called in with a nice contribution as well and some very nice comments. Right now, it's up to you. Give us a call at 888-202-2552 or go online to WPR.org. And we'll be back with Frank Armstrong to talk more about your investments. Stay with us. Talking about your retirement and investing today with Frank Armstrong of Coconut Grove, Florida, founder of the investment advisor firm Investor Solutions, Inc., author of the book Save Your Retirement. We're really pleased to have Frank back. And Doug in Mount Horeb has been waiting a while, Frank, so let's go to Doug. Doug, hello. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Great program.
Thank you.
There are about a dozen retirement state employees sitting around to get together every once in a while, and they're all here, and we're taking bets on your answer. So,
okay.
I like them and so many other retired employees that are in the in the variable fund, spent most of the years working split between fixed and variable. And when I retired, as a result of that, I had twice as much money in my account on the variable side as I did on the fixed side, because that's a stock-heavy portion of my investment compared to the fixed side of the state fund. Then, of course, when the market went down, all of us lost about 42% on the variable side, so that was a 42% reduction in pension income. And most of us are between 65 and 70, and among the bunch, we've gotten professional advice from advisors on what to do. And we've contacted three or four different ones, and we've gotten two answers. One answer is, well, you never get out of anything at the bottom. Yes, your variable portfolio is way down, but the other half of your pension annuity is in a fixed account from the state. So you should just wait, and it'll come back eventually, and it'll be tough, but 10 years from now you'll be smiling, and you still won't be dead because you'd be 75. So that's one piece of professional advice. The other one, the more intriguing one, which is what people are betting on here to see what you're going to say, is, well, what you guys don't understand is that the variable investments that the state of Wisconsin made over time became more and more stock-heavy. And so now your portfolios, in essence, are mostly stock, because not only did the variable portion become stock-heavy, but the core fund, the fixed fund that used to be more stable, is also heavily invested in stocks to the tune of about 80%. So you guys don't realize it, but even though you think you have a diversified portfolio, 50% variable and 50% fixed, in fact, since the fixed is so heavily in stocks, your overall portfolio is like an 85 or 90% stock fund, and for that reason, you should get out.
Huh. Frank, a comment?
Well, I don't know if you even can get out.
Yes, you can.
If you can roll it into an IRA, you know, then you could take total control of the investment mix. On the other hand, the fixed portion, even though it's invested in stocks, may come with a state of Wisconsin guarantee. And if it does, then you have to decide how solvent is the state of Wisconsin to make good on that guarantee. So, you know, I'm a long way from there. I'm in Coconut Grove, Florida. I'm afraid I'm not an expert on your retirement plan, but if it comes with a guarantee from the state of Wisconsin, it would give me some comfort. On the other hand, if you are uncomfortable and you can roll it out into an IRA, then you become master of your own ship, for good or for evil. And if you do roll it out, I would think very carefully about what my investment policy should be. I would wish you luck. I really don't have enough information to help you settle your bets.
Well, if it helps, the fixed side of the fund, it does come with a guarantee.
Well, that helps a lot, as long as you have no reason to believe that the state of Wisconsin's shortly going to become bankrupt. I would put some faith in that. But, you know, across the entire nation, many, many of these programs are suffering. All the municipalities are running short on cash. They may cut their contributions to support that or may not. They may change their investment mix in an attempt to get it back up. But you've seen a couple well-known municipal bankruptcies as a result of promising more than they could pay to pension participants. And that may accelerate. I don't know very many that are fully funded today. And where are they going to get the tax money to fully fund them?
Yeah.
Because if they're underfunded, they've got to either cut benefits, which is going to be painful for you guys, or they've got to increase taxes, which is going to be painful for the other tax payers, or they've got to take more and more risk and hope that it turns out okay.
Hmm. There you have it, Doug. Thanks for calling.
I don't think we settled your bet. Sorry, it's an intriguing problem.
Thanks, Doug. Dan in Turtle Lake. Your turn. Hi, Dan.
Yes. I'm at square one. I'm not as far advanced as the previous callers. I'm back at the stage where I want to talk about financial advisors and their charges and their reliability. I've gone through two of them. I'm presently in an operation called Edward Jones. And I'm wondering, and I have a very difficult time when I read the reports discerning what exactly the charges are. You know, what am I being charged for and how much? I would like a statement, a monthly statement or something of that sort, so that I have some adequate sense. And if you could speak to that issue of financial advisors and why when you say they should have no conflict of interest, just what does that mean? And what about the company I'm presently with, which is, as I said, Edward Jones?
Okay, well, I don't want to speak directly to Edward Jones, but I would say I would not hire any financial advisor who wouldn't sign in writing that he's a fiduciary, which would first mean he will make all decisions in your best interest. Second, he will disclose entirely how much you're being paid. And many representatives of brokerage houses are prohibited from doing that because they'd rather die than let you know what their conflicts of interest are and what they're being paid and so you can measure that against the value you receive. So I would start with, I want a fiduciary, somebody who's being paid fee only, so we remove the conflicts of interest inherent in the commission system, and then demand full disclosure. You may or may not be able to get that from a brokerage firm. You may need to go to an independent registered investment advisor.
Yeah, there you have it. Nick in Green Bay, hello to you.
Hi. I don't know if you're going to be able to help me, but my wife thinks I'm nuts, so I want to see if I am nuts. I have a 7-month-old daughter, and I've been buying savings bonds since she was born. Is that like a U.S. savings bond? Is that a wise idea? I'm thinking just when she turns 18, she'll have all these bonds she can cash in. If she wants a car, then she can have a car and not have to deal with it, or college or anything else.
All right. What do you think, Frank? Savings bonds.
You know, it depends. There are various issues of U.S. savings bonds. Some of them are inflation protected, which may be a better deal than those that are not. But, you know, you could do the other route. You could do the education IRA or a Roth IRA for her and accumulate potentially more by reducing the by having low costs and higher returns than bonds will offer. The one thing about U.S. savings bonds is they are guaranteed, but it's guaranteed to be a very, very low rate of return for just about ever. And when you take the money out, it's taxable income. So you may find more tax-effective ways and ways that provide for higher returns, because 18 years is a pretty long time horizon.
Yeah.
And your opportunity cost, the difference between what you could earn in the market and a U.S. government guarantee, is pretty high over that period of time.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. And Laura in Milwaukee, your turn. Hi, Laura.
Hi. I have a question about the talk that the dollar is reducing in value and that there's a idea of a new financial base being allotted not to a dollar but an entirely new way of money, and whether that goes to euro, the euro dollar or Asian, or and that's why so many people seem to be scrambling for gold or silver, and you know, deciding on how to make an investment that is more secure for the future, when you know the dollar now can buy so much gold, but later the gold will be even more than what the dollar is valued. And I'm just wondering how that looks, because they're leaving that so out there. I mean, would it be technology that is going to be the investment, or for basing the dollar, or could it be oil? And you know, what are we losing the gold system from the United States, or how are we valuing our future?
Well, the gold system's gone. That's been gone for quite some time. And we're now backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government, which just means they'll pay you back in dollars, and those dollars may or may not be worth what you put into them today. But gold historically has not been a great inflation hedge, and if you own it, you got to pay somebody to store it, and I don't think that's necessarily the best inflation hedge that you could have out there. I don't know. I can't really speculate as to whether the dollar will be replaced as the trading reserve currency for the world. I suspect it will be quite some time before that happens, because we still got the biggest market. And if you want to sell here, you got to take dollars. and one reason the dollar is down, incidentally, is not that people don't believe that we can manage our deficit, but that interest rates are so low here, kept artificially low by the U.S. government, that investors are going overseas to find higher returns in other bond markets, and that drives the value of the dollar down. Now, that's not the only cause, for sure, but it's one of them. It would be nice if the U.S. government and the rest of us got our houses in order, stopped borrowing more than we spend, and we might have to increase taxes to do that or cut some programs. There's no perfect inflation hedge, but I think gold is a long way from that perfect inflation hedge.
Got an email from R2. They're in their 40s, early 40s, 20 to 25 years from retirement. They retire at 65. Wondering how much they should currently have in retirement at this point in their lives on a percentage basis. I'm asking so we can be aware of how we're tracking, they said.
Well, I don't know their financial situation well enough to speculate on that. I'll say that most financial planners believe that if you save between 15 and 20% of your income annually in one form or another, then you'll be able to meet your future obligations for college, retirement, having your house paid off, all those other things that you're concerned about. So and you're so far from retirement, it's difficult to place a value on how much your retirement income needs will be, because it's so far out there. I tell the story in the book that my first job as a second lieutenant, United States Air Force, my first full year with combat pay for about 6 months and flight status, I made $3,600 a year. And I thought I was living high on the hog. But if I had done my retirement planning based on, say, 90% of $3,600, I'd be living under the bridge down here in Watson Island. So what I did do was save a percentage of my income, and I saved first before I could get my grubby little hands on it and spend it for something trivial. And over time, that's grown to be a very solid sum for me. And everybody can do that. Now, the first thing that comes to mind when I tell people 20% is, oh, my goodness, I can never do that. But one of the things you can do is start with some small percent, and then as your income raises, put half of the raise into the retirement kitty or the general savings kitty. So you've got a little more in your pocket, but more is going towards savings. Because, in fact, going cold turkey and putting 20% of your income into an investment kitty would be extremely difficult for most people. I realize that. So start with something you can do and systematically move it up so that it just becomes part of your lifestyle.
Frank Armstrong, our guest today. Frank is author of the book Save Your Retirement, What to Do If You Haven't Saved Enough or If Your Investments Were Devastated by the Market Meltdown. He's got a lot of great information in this book, and we're offering it to you today. It's part of our pledge drive. But I tell you what, regardless of what amount you can make or contribute, I hope you'll do it right now on these last 9 minutes of our drive today at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552. Make your pledge. If it's $50 or $100 or $500, whatever the amount you choose is the right amount. And Jim Packard, I bet you'd agree with me.
I agree with you, Larry, entirely. And if you are the kind of person who listens regularly to Larry's show, then help pay for the program that you depend on. We have a goal of 75 pledges in the show. We've got 8 minutes left to go, and we need 27 calls in order to meet our goal.
Wow,
it's certainly manageable.
Oh, yes.
I think we can do that. Thank you. If you've already given, if your name is on the list at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, decide the amount of your pledge. When you give $100, ask for Frank's book, Saving Your Retirement, and pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And Frank has been a regular guest on our program for a long time now, and he's a very popular guest with our listeners. We've had lots of positive feedback about the great job he does as we talk with him about investing. And he's not the only one. Dave Knutson of Wisconsin Indian Head Technical College in Ashland offers cooking advice. Professor Bassam Shakashiri in chemistry has always some great information, commentary on science and education. Phil Pelletieri, Melinda Myers, Scott Craven. You get great information that you can use from these guests and so many others on this program. It's a real pleasure for me to have people like Frank Armstrong on this show. But it's your contribution that makes the show possible. So go online at WPR.org or call us toll-free at 888-202-2552 and make your pledge of support.
That's right. You decide the amount of your pledge. When you give $125 a month, you'll receive the I Love WPR package. It includes the WPR stainless steel water bottle, a WPR reusable shopping bag, an Eaton hand crank radio, and a day sponsorship, 5 on-air mentions of your special occasion on the day of your choosing. It's the I Love WPR package for a pledge of $1,500 or $125 a month. Pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Every pledge of any amount is truly appreciated.
We are presently in a pretty good situation. We have 26 more contributions to go to reach our goal of 75 contributions during this hour. I tell you what, we can make it with your help. And if you contribute at least $100, we'll send you a copy of Frank's book, Save Your Retirement. And I'm pretty sure you can save more than the $100 back if you follow the principles that Frank talks about in this book. It's a wonderful book, something that I think you're going to get a lot out of. Our goal, 75 pledges. We have 26 to go. You can help us out now. Contribute $100 or maybe $200, maybe $500, whatever the amount. Do it right now at WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552.
And make sure that your voice is heard as we listen to you during the year. We're reminded that it's listeners who make up a third of our programming budget and which are so important to us in meeting our goals and keeping Wisconsin Public Radio in the black. So why not make your pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You know, in this book, you're going to find lots of great information. There's hope. You know, there's always hope for us when if we, you know, follow some of Frank's advice here. I think there's a lot of hope. He talks about budgeting, about how much money you will need, how to figure that, about how to consolidate your retirement accounts, about estate planning. He's got dealing with risk, a chapter on dealing with risk, about where does Social Security fit in into your retirement, what to do the moment you stop reading his book, things that you can get started on right away. Lots of great information, and I think it's very something you're going to find very, very useful. So contribute now by going online to WPR.org or calling 888-202-2552. Make a contribution of at least $100, and we'll send you a copy of the book.
That's right, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. All it takes is a gift of a dollar or two a week and a few minutes of your time. A dollar or two a week adds up to about $50 or $100 for the year. You'd have a copy of the book, Saving Your Retirement, and all year long you'll benefit from this program and all of the other WPR programs that you love. So make your contribution online right now securely at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and give as generously as you can.
And thanks to everybody who's contributed already. Anna in Madison wrote a nice comment and contributed today. Robert in Dousman is another one of our Wisconsin Public Radio listeners who's called in with a contribution. Laura and Jim in La Crosse, Tom and Wanakee. I hope you'll join those folks and contribute. We have 26 more to go, contributions to go to reach our goal of 75 for the 90-minute period. We can do it with your help. The success of the fund drive really does depend on you. So, again, thanks if you've already given. If not, give now online at WPR.org or call us at 888-202-2552. And be sure to ask for that book, Save for Your Retirement, with a $100 contribution or more.
Many people say that the only thing they listen to on the radio is WPR. I can appreciate that. We're on the air 24 hours a day, whether you're at home or the office with others or alone, concentrating or relaxing. There's something for you. Like a good companion, you count on us for interesting news, great music, intelligent talk. Now we're counting on you to make a decision and become a member. Give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
That's the number, 888-202-2552, or go online to WPR.org. We're going to have to be going away here in just a minute or so. We're really pleased with the number of contributions we've received already. We only have 20 to go to reach our goal. We've got a minute to do it. We can do it with your help. Give us a call now, 888-202-2552, or go online to WPR.org. That's WPR.org. Give whatever you can give. Whatever you can give is going to be much appreciated. And thanks to everybody who's contributed. If you haven't contributed yet, call now, 888-202-2552.